Matthew chapter number 6, starting in verse number 5 to the end of verse number 7. Actually, let's go to verse number 8. We're going to read Matthew chapter number 6, verses 5 through 8. 5, 6, 7, 8. And let's read together in unison, shall we? And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the prayer closet. The prayer closet. Dear God, thank you again for being such a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for these dear folks. I pray that you bless them. Now, dear Holy Spirit of God, please meet with us. Speak to our hearts about this important matter, the prayer closet. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. In Psalm 65, verse number 2, God's name is called, O thou that hearest prayer. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, the prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 15:29 says, he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Proverbs 28:9, listen to this, he says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. That means if you don't want to hear what the Word of God says, even your prayer shall be abomination. Matthew 23, Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Luke 6:12 says he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. 2 Samuel 7:27 says, thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, has revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. The reason you pray something is because God first put it in your heart. That's what he says in 1 Chronicles 17. Thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. Matthew 17:21, Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You have heartaches and problems. You have temptations and burdens. You have trials that you can't know how to deal, you don't know how to deal with. Well, my Bible says that Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 19:13 says, then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Matthew 14:23, the Bible says, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mark 6:46, the Bible says he departed into a mountain to pray. Luke 6, verse number 12, the Bible says he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Verse 28 says, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. In Luke 18:1, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 18. I want you to read this. I wasn't going to turn there, but I think I want you to read this. Luke chapter number 18, starting in verse number 10. Watch this. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. See, they went up to pray, but the Pharisee prayed with himself. God, he probably said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus said in Luke 21, watch ye therefore and pray always. He said in Luke chapter number 22, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He said in verse 46, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And we have, if we're saved, if we're children of God, if we're born again, we have the comforter, the Holy Ghost of God that lives within us, that Jesus said he was going to pray and God sent in his place. John 17, 20, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Do you realize, I preached that sermon weeks or months ago, that Jesus is praying for us right now, ladies and gentlemen. Acts 8, verse 22, the Bible says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And then in verse 24, Simon said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. My Bible says in Acts 10, 9, that Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. My Bible says in Romans 8, 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God's not looking for fancy words. He's looking for your heart. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, the Bible says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. You can't pray in an unknown tongue if you don't know what you're talking about. You're not praying with understanding. My Bible says, Paul writes, I will pray with the understanding. Philippians 1:9 says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Colossians 1:9, this is just the introduction. I'm going to get to my sermon. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Verse 23 says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, we pray always for you. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul writes, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be held, not be laid to their charge. Hebrews 13:8 says, pray for us. James 5 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. He said, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. He said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. My Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. My Bible says in James 5, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. In verse 18, he prayed again. In verse 19, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. There are plenty of examples in the Bible concerning prayer. And I'm talking about private prayer. prayer closet praying. I'm talking about Jacob, when he put his head on that pillow in the Jacob's ladder, where the angels were ascending and descending. I'm talking about Daniel when he prayed and fasted for 3 weeks before the answer came back. I'm talking about Stephen, the first martyr in the New Testament, that prayed for his executors and said, God, lay not this to their charge. In 1 Samuel 12, verse 23, the Bible says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the prayer closet. The neglected prayer closet that all of us are guilty of. The neglected prayer closet that's gathering dust. Jesus walked and talked with Adam in the garden. He had fellowship. You were made to have fellowship with God. You were made to commune with your Creator. Instead of communing with God and fellowshipping with God, we try to fill the void in our lives and the void in our hearts with idols and gods and vanity and people and animals and nature and alcohol and drugs and boyfriends and girlfriends and other things that temporarily and vainly fill the void that never satisfies and never can satisfy what only God can fill. The reason we do not pray like we need to pray today is because we have so many modern conveniences. One of the reasons we have so many modern conveniences and technologies that do not necessitate our need to pray, we think. What did people do before cell phones if there was an emergency? Well, they prayed. Now the first thing we do is call 911. The first thing we do is call someone. I read an article last week, a group of people were using their cell phones to video record a group of people beating to death someone instead of stopping them and helping them. Instead of trying to intervene, they were capturing the beating on their cell phones. Cell phones today are their gods. What happened before we had telephones in the houses? What happened before we had mail service and letter carriers? You know what we used to do? We used to pray for people on a more consistent basis, and we used to ask God to bless others and protect others that were far away that we had no contact with. Today we have 24/7 fake news, and everything is microwave ready, 24-hour dry clean ready. Everything is at our fingertips. All the knowledge of the world today is at our fingertips. We have all the knowledge in the world, but little to no wisdom on how to use all the knowledge that's available to us, because hardly anyone prays anymore. I'm talking about private prayer. I'm talking about prayer in the prayer closet. I maintain that if you are praying for someone at 5 o'clock in the morning, you will have a very different time. You will have a very difficult time criticizing them, disparaging them, treating them with contempt later on in the same day. If you are praying for someone's salvation at 5 a.m. in the morning, it is very unlikely that you are going to argue with them, hate them, and purposely try to make their lives difficult. If you are praying for a loved one at 5 a.m. in the morning, then it is likely you will love them all day long, long to be a blessing and a help to them, and seek reconciliation if needed. If you are praying for a lost one at 5 a.m. in the morning, then it is likely you will seek any and all opportunities to witness to them, to be a blessing to them, and to find ways to give them the gospel. If you're not praying for someone on a consistent basis, then it is likely your heart is going to grow cold toward that person, and you will do all that you can not to be a blessing to that person. If you are not praying for a specific lost person, then it is likely you are not going to think of ways of how you can be a blessing to them, and you will not avail yourself of the opportunities that you will have to witness to them and share the gospel with them. If you are not praying for others, you will tend to think more about yourself and your selfish wants and selfish desires. If you are not praying for others, I'm talking about prayer closet praying. If you're not praying for others, you will tend to focus more on your money, your misery, your sad state of affairs, and have a pity party. If you are not praying for souls to be saved overseas, you will most likely not be concerned about overseas missions and missionaries trying to win souls overseas and start churches overseas. If you're not praying for those in leadership and authority, you will tend to be more rebellious and disobedient to that authority. If you're not praying for your spouse on a daily basis, you are more likely to argue and have marital problems. If you're not praying for your parents and children, you are more likely not to try to reconcile with them. The reason why so many believers today use foul language and cuss and swear and use God's name in vain is because they are not praying on their knees in a prayer closet by themselves, asking God to help them with their mouth, their lips, and their tongues. The reason so many believers slander and lie and exaggerate is because they are not entering their prayer closet and asking God to make them humble and honest and not to be a false witness. The reason why so many believers have so much pride that shows through their Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and LinkedIn and blogs and MySpace and Instagram and all the other social media outlet craps is because we want everyone else to notice us, but we don't care if God gets our attention. And we don't care if we get God's attention. Too many people think that their prayer time driving a vehicle is sufficient. Too many people think that them thinking about God and others while laying in bed is sufficient. Too many people think that them maybe spending 5 to 10 seconds praying, maybe, praying and asking God to bless their food before they eat is sufficient for their prayer time. Even if they pray before they eat. That's a big if. Too many people think that them thinking in their heart and their mind about thinking about God for their food without bowing their heads in public while they're putting the first food in their mouth is sufficient for their daily prayer. Too many people think that because they happen to be in church, when the church is praying as a corporate body, or when one individual leads a church body in prayer, that that is sufficient for their daily prayer. Too many people think that because they attend the midweek prayer service, that that constitutes sufficient time in prayer for them for that day or for that week. But the sad fact is that we should be compelled to come to church, if for no other reason that will be maybe the only time most people will ever pray. And that's sad, and that's a shame, but that's a sad truth. And I'm not saying you shouldn't come to church, even if that's the only time you do pray, when somebody prays publicly in church. We will sit here and rightly criticize the ungodly heathen prayers of the Catholics and Orthodox and Protestants who repeat words that they do not believe nor understand, but yet we will not go to our prayer closets and spend even 5 minutes on our knees for others. It is easy for us to criticize the Muslims as they spend hours on their hands and knees praying to Satan while God's people could not even find the words to pray 5 minutes by themselves if no one else is listening to them. We will criticize the Buddhists and Hindus and all the other pagan religions for the hours they faithfully pray to Satan. But it is embarrassing and shameful for the vast majority of God's people who do not spend 1 minute of a day on their knees praying for the salvation of those same heathens praying to devil gods. I believe the reason our nation, our society is so far from God is directly correlated to the lack of time that God's people spend on their knees in their prayer closets alone when no one is watching them and when no one knows that they are praying. We do not mind doing church work because others see us doing church work. We do not mind helping others because others see us helping others. We do not mind giving money to churches, missionaries, and other ministries because others will know that we give or that we gave, and it will be recorded that we gave, and we will even get a receipt for tax purposes. We do not mind singing specials and singing in the choir and singing in the congregation because others will see and hear us and be thankful and grateful for singing and being a blessing. We do not mind being kind and friendly to those we love and to visitors who come to church because we will leave an impression on them on how kind and friendly we have been to them. But we do not get alone in our prayer closet because no one sees us alone in there by ourselves. As a matter of fact, most people cannot pray for more than 3 to 5 minutes because they don't know what to pray for without a prayer list because they do not spend time in prayer closet on a consistent basis. You'll listen to the radio all day long in the car when you're driving, but not spend 5 minutes a day on your knees. You'll listen to all kinds of talk shows about politics, religion, house repairs and car repairs and finances and health on the radio while you're driving, but you will not spend 5 minutes on your knees alone in your prayer closet for the power of God. You will listen to all kinds of audiobooks and learn so much knowledge of history and how to do things and how to make things and how to survive the zombie apocalypse and how to do everything except spend 5 minutes in a prayer closet by yourself on your knees. You'll learn how to prepare for retirement, prepare for your finances, and prepare for survival against the atomic bomb of wars. But you'll not spend 5 minutes on your knees in prayer in your prayer closet when no one else is around watching you. You'll keep up on all the news about politics and religion and health and government. Thank God it closed. I wish the whole thing closed down. Not for 2 days, but for 2 years and 20 years. I hope it never opens up again. The best thing that could happen in America is the government closed down permanently. You'll watch the television for hours and hours watching movies and sports and shows, but not 5 minutes on your knees in a prayer closet by yourself. You'll go to ball games and shout. You'll go to professional games and shout. You'll go to college games and high school games and grade school sports with your little brats. I don't care if it's in the wintertime, the snow, the rain, the cold. But you can't spend 5 minutes on your knees by yourself in a prayer closet. You run around town going everywhere for appointments, for shopping, for leisure, for vacation, but not 5 minutes on your knees by yourself in a prayer closet. You'll be angry at others for some stupid reason all day long, days on end for weeks and months and years. But you won't spend 5 minutes on your knees asking God to search your heart and see if there be any wicked thought in your heart. You'll listen to all kinds of financial counselors. You'll listen to marriage counselors, the health experts, the doctors and lawyers and friends and acquaintances for as long as you possibly can. But you won't spend 5 minutes in prayer in a prayer closet asking God for wisdom that he's promised to give you if you just ask him. You'll listen to your backslidden husband, your backslidden wife, your backslidden children, your backslidden parents, your backslidden siblings, your backslidden friends, your backslidden relatives, your unsaved neighbors, your unsaved coworkers, your unsaved relatives, but you won't spend 5 minutes on your knees by yourself in a prayer closet asking God for wisdom and discernment and courage and boldness and love to share the gospel with others. Yet we want to point the fingers at the atheists and the agnostics. We want to point the fingers at the socialists and the anti-God, anti-Bible people, the queers, the sodomites, the abortion crowd. I tell you, as John R. Rice once said, all our failures are prayer failures. You blame everybody else you want. All our failures are prayer failures. You will learn everything you can about all the gossip everyone is willing to tell you about everyone so that you can know the scoop and the dirt on everyone. But yet you're not willing to spend 5 minutes in prayer on your knees to help them, to pray for them, and to love them. You'll try to save every dollar you can by reading and listening to all the money-saving gimmicks and tricks to give you extra money. But it will all be spent on doctor bills one day and hospital bills one day and lawyer bills one day and bail bondsmen one day to keep you and your loved ones out of jail and out of prison, out of divorce court. It will be spent on insurance that will pay for your psychologist and your psychiatrist and all the meds you're going to take one day for your lawlessness and your disobedience and your rebellion against authority. And it will give your hated enemies, those social workers that you despise, plenty of work and full-time jobs trying to clean up the mess that you made, all because you are not willing to spend 5 minutes on your knees in your prayer closet every single day. The coroner will get paid lots of money doing your autopsy. The funeral director will get paid extra stitching your flesh up. The troopers and the sheriffs and policemen that you have hated will work overtime getting paid going over the crime scene. The detectives and investigators will make plenty of extra overtime because of your lack of spending 5 minutes a day on your knees by yourself in your prayer closet when you have the opportunity asking God for grace and mercy and wisdom. And if you survive the crime, there'll be plenty of court personnel who will get paid a good chunk of money when they try your case for 1 or 2 or more weeks. The judge will get paid handsomely. The clerk and the court reporter will get paid. The deputy sheriffs and state court officers will get paid. The probation and parole officers will get paid. The transport sheriff deputies and the correction officers will get paid watching you like a caged animal forever, however long you are sentenced. Yes, a system that you railed against will get paid more and more because of people who refuse to pray 5 minutes on their knees in their prayer closets when no one else was watching them. Sometimes we ought to change the word testimonies to testifonies. I'm not against testimonies. I like testimonies. But the same testifonies can give great testimonies, but can we pray alone in a prayer closet by ourselves when no one's watching for 5 minutes? We have great singing voices, but can we pray alone in our prayer closets? We have great orators and pulpiteers, but can we pray alone in our prayer closets? We have booming voices and great control of speech, but can we pray alone when no one's watching us in a prayer closet? We have great tear-jerking illustrations and great studies of truths and doctrines, but how long has it been since you've prayed in a prayer closet by yourself? We have Bible chapters and Bible verses at the ready to argue with non-believers and backsliders. But when's the last time you entered a prayer closet by yourself and got on your knees before a holy God and poured out your heart to God? We have suits and ties and skirts and dresses, but can we pray alone for 5 minutes in our prayer closet when no one else is watching? We have head coverings and short haircuts and the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible, but can we pray alone for 5 minutes in our prayer closet? We knock on doors and hand out gospel tracts and invite folks to get saved and come to church. But when's the last time you spent 5 minutes in the prayer closet all by yourself? We can preach on street corners. We're willing to be arrested and persecuted for the cause of Christ. But do we pray 5 minutes alone every day in a prayer closet when no one else is watching us? Or are we just too busy for God? We act the part of a Christian as we smile before others and act pious and religious. But do we pray 5 minutes alone in our prayer closet on our knees with a broken heart, asking God for power and wisdom and grace and mercy? We hire lawyers to defend our right to preach the gospel, but do we spend 5 minutes alone for the power of God to do that? Most people talk to others and themselves instead of praying to God like the publican did. He prayed with himself, the Bible says. Even in corporate prayer. Even when the church gets together, even when two or three gather together, most people talk to others with their eyes closed and talk to themselves with their eyes closed instead of praying to God. You laugh and mock at people who are mentally unstable, who you see talking to themselves with their eyes open. Well, I ask you, how about the hypocrite who talks to himself and to others instead of God as if they're acting as if they're praying? You're talking to yourself in the morning if you're playing video games on your cell phones and your laptop or your iPad later on in the day, wasting valuable time because you are obviously not praying for wisdom to God on how to handle your time. You are talking to yourself when you're praying. You're talking to yourself when you call it prayer if you're criticizing others and gossiping about others and hating others during the rest of the day because you are obviously not praying to be kind and gentle and have a Christian attitude. You're talking to yourself when you speak audible words hypocritically, when during the rest of the day you flagrantly and willfully and voluntarily and knowingly disobey Hebrews 10:25, Deuteronomy 22:5, Isaiah 47 verse 1-3, and a whole slew of other verses. Your so-called prayer is an abomination, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:9, when you refuse to hear what the King James Bible says and you're reading some perversion in the English or in the Greek. You're talking to yourself and mumbling whisperings to yourself when you attend a church that is not a Bible-believing Baptist church. You're talking to yourself and speaking hypocritical lies when you cross your chest to make the sign of the cross because some heathen religion has taught you to do some religious superstitious stuff instead of actually praying. You're talking to yourself and others when you're teaching and propagating a religion of works and not the gospel of grace that Jesus and the apostles taught in the scriptures. You're talking to yourself and others when you make long prayers and read prayers to impress the rich and dignitaries with your eloquence instead of speaking to God from your heart. You're talking to yourself and others when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you refuse to be born again, as Jesus said in John chapter 3. You're talking to yourself and others when your pride makes you want to wear religious garb that the Druids and the Baal priests wore who hated Jesus and the disciples and crucified the Lord Jesus and his faithful followers. Have you ever wondered what kind of grade you could have gotten had you prayed 5 minutes in a prayer closet by yourself? Have you ever wondered how far in school you could have gone if you had just prayed 5 minutes in a prayer closet by yourself? Have you ever wondered which profession or which job you could have had if you had just prayed 5 minutes by yourself in a prayer closet with no one watching, no one listening except God? Have you ever wondered why you married the wrong person? Maybe you didn't spend 5 minutes on your knees praying in a prayer closet. Have you ever wondered why you refuse to have any more children all because you don't want to pray 5 minutes in a prayer closet? Have you ever wondered why you bought that junk car, that wrong house? Have you ever wondered why you moved to such a place out of God's will? Have you ever wondered why you went to the wrong church all those years? Why you can't get along with your spouse, your children, your parents? Why your biggest problem is your personality and needs changing? Because you can't spend 5 minutes on your knees in a prayer closet to God Almighty, who alone has the answer for all our problems. Oh, you may have talked to yourself. You may have talked to others with your eyes closed. But you obviously were not praying to God Almighty. Because God would never lead you to do anything that's contrary to the King James Bible, the Holy Word of God. But you say, I just feel this is right. I have peace about it. God understands. You go ahead and keep talking to yourself like that. You're not praying. Those words are not found in the Bible. I say the people in the mental wards are more right with God than most of God's people are. I say that people in the mental wards, listen to me good, who hear voices and see things that others cannot see are more right than people who don't pray in a prayer closet by themselves. At least they are honest in telling others what they see and hear. Most of God's people are a bunch of liars who say that they pray when in actuality they're talking to themselves and to others. How can religious leaders allow effeminate evangelicals convince them that sodomites were born that way? They're obviously not praying to God about it. They're talking to themselves and to other people with their eyes closed. The sad part about not praying is that when we die, we are going to see all the power that was available to us through prayer that we neglected. We're going to see the answers of prayer that were available that we neglected. We're going to see how proud and stubborn we were because of the lack of prayer. We're going to see how weak we were when we yielded to temptation as a result of not praying. We're going to see the revivals that could have happened if we had just prayed in a prayer closet, asking God for boldness and power and courage and wisdom. We're going to realize how selfish we were about what we consumed with our time all day long instead of praying for others and praying for wisdom and asking God to bless those around us, through us, and to help us be a blessing to those who are struggling and who had heavy burdens. A pastor or religious leader speaks to himself if he does not teach his people the King James Bible and does not teach them to separate themselves from the world. He's just praying to himself. He's talking to himself, not to God. It's very interesting that so many fake, phony, and fraud evangelical pastors and religious leaders, they'll quote famous Christians of the past. You know, they'll talk about Spurgeon, who used the King James Bible, Jonathan Edwards, who used the King James Bible, who Martin Luther, who used the Textus Receptus in the German, John Calvin, who used the Textus Receptus, John and Charles Wesley used the King James Bible, William Tyndale used the Textus Receptus, and George Whitefield, who used the King James Bible, they'll quote them while they use some perversion. They're not praying. They're talking to themselves with eyes closed. They'll quote all church fathers, but they don't have the power that the church fathers had, because church fathers had the Word of God and they pray to God on their knees in a prayer closet. We'll mention John Chrysostomus, Irenaeus, Erasmus, Hudson Taylor, Oswald Chambers, Ignatius of Antioch, Clement of Rome, Polycarp, Tertullian, Lucian of Antioch, John Huss, Thomas Cranmer, George Fox, John Knox, John Bunyan, William Booth, Charles Finney, Billy Sunday, but we won't meet in the prayer closet like they met in the prayer closet. Closing thoughts. Pray means to ask, to petition. As a matter of fact, the first 9 times the word prayer is ever mentioned in the Bible, it's used as asking someone else, not God. And I'll venture to say that 75% of every single time the word prayer or pray is mentioned in the Old Testament is used to someone else, not God. Pray means to ask, to petition. The vast majority of Americans today have made their government their God. I'm glad this government God has closed down. Not just 1/3, I wish 2/3 would close down permanently. I don't care about the museums being open. I don't care about these offices being, I don't care if any of them never open again. The best thing that could happen in America is a government closed down permanently. But the vast majority of Americans today, their God is the government. Hence, they ask the government for help and they petition the courts more than they ask God for help. My Bible says, woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. No God in heaven that you can help go for help for? There's no God who can answer your prayer? There's no God who can see everything that knows what's best for you? We're so backslidden, so rebellious, so disobedient that we know that the God in heaven will not only not listen to us, because of our backslidden condition, but he will not answer us the way we want. So we don't go to God, we go to a government, we go to everybody else. Prayer in the King James Bible will bring you closer to God. It allows you to have an intimate relationship with him and cleanses your heart. I told you a story about the farmer who told his grandson to grab that wicked basket that they used to haul coal in because it was black with coal. You know, he says, go get some water from the river. And the boy looked at his grandpa and said, Grandpa, that's not going to hold it. He said, I say, go get some water from the river. So the boy took that wicked basket and ran to the river, filled it up, and started walking back, and all the water dripped out. And looked at his grandpa and said, there's no water. It's just dripping out. He says, go back and get some more water, he said. So the boy ran back to the river, and this time he walked a little faster, but he only went about 10 steps further, and there's still no water left because it all dripped out of the wicked basket. And he said, Grandpa, there's no water. He says, go and get me some water with that basket. So this time the boy took off, and he filled it up from the river, and he started running to his grandfather. By the time he got to his grandfather, the water had drained all out of the wicker basket. He said, Grandpa, there's no water left in the basket. He said, yeah, I know, but look at it, how clean it is now. You think you're wasting your time praying. You think you're wasting your time coming to church. You think you're wasting your time reading the Bible. You don't see how God's cleansed your heart the last 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. You don't see how God straightened your life up. You think it's boring to pray, so you stop praying. Asa was a good man. The Bible says he was a good man. Good king. But he was diseased in his feet, the Bible says, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa died. It bothers me when God's people go to doctors and lawyers before they go to God. You're asking everybody for financial help and marriage help. Why don't you go to God? Don't you have a prayer closet? Make the bathroom a prayer closet. Make your bedroom a prayer closet. Make your office a prayer closet. Get along with God. Make the woods a prayer closet. First Kings 13:6. Jeroboam said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. The man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was before. When's the last time you had a prayer answered that somebody asked you to pray for? 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw and beheld, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, fire round about Elisha. You can't see what's standing around us. If you knew there's about 40, 50, 100 angels standing in the back room, one or two for each of us, saying, brother, preach it. Keep preaching it, brother. They're probably standing right behind you and say, hey, right here, preacher, right here. This person needs it right here. We sit here all piously sometimes. We act religious sometimes. We haven't even darkened the prayer closet. You wonder why we don't have power? We can't control ourselves. We fall victim to temptation. Blame everybody else for all our problems. Point the finger at everybody else. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayers of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee, unto him. Psalm 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, he shall hear my voice. Psalm 122 verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Isaiah 45 says, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. We left the religion of dead works, and then we refuse to meet God in the prayer closet to have fellowship with him. We've left the bondage of works that damned us to eternity in hell. And the God that saves us is waiting for us morning, noon, and night. We refuse that fellowship with him. We refuse to meet him while he's waiting for us. Jeremiah 42 says that Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Jeremiah 42:20, ye dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. They're a bunch of liars like they were back then, like they are today. Jonah said after God answered his prayer, wicked, backslidden Jonah, the Jewish boy didn't want to go a whole black town, 120,000 black people on their way to hell. He said in Jonah 4, verse number 2, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. Nineveh, 120,000 people got saved. Amen. 120,000, greatest revival ever recorded in mankind's history. The king to the poorest person. Amen. Zechariah chapter number 8 says, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Charles Spurgeon said, why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make but slow advances in the divine life? Because they neglect their closets and do not thoughtfully meditate on God's word. They love the wheat, but they do not grind it. They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. The fruit hangs upon the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop to drink it. From such folly deliver us, O Lord. Spurgeon said, groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. Spurgeon said, if God be near a church, it must pray. And if he be not there, one of the first tokens of his absence will be a slothfulness in prayer. He said, prayer bends the omnipotence of heaven to your desire. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. We cannot all argue, but we can all pray. We cannot all be leaders, but we can all be pleaders. We cannot all be mighty in rhetoric, but we can all be prevalent in prayer. When you feel disinclined to pray, let it be a sign to you that prayer is doubly necessary. Pray for prayer. He said, if any of you should ask me for an epitome of the Christian religion, I should say that it is in one word, prayer. He said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. So many examples. George Mueller was known as a man of prayer in England. He ran an orphanage, 1,400 children. And many times, if you ever read his biography, autobiography, or the biography of others wrote about him, how often that he pled with God and begged with God and no money coming in. 1,400 orphans. And God would answer every single time. No government help. God answered every single time. Story is told about Charles Inglis, who became a well-known evangelist. He said this story, and I'm quoting now. When I first came to America 31 years ago, I crossed the Atlantic with the captain of a steamer who was one of the most devoted men I ever knew. And when we were off the banks of Newfoundland, he said to me, Mr. Inglis, the last time I crossed here 5 weeks ago, one of the most extraordinary things happened that has completely revolutionized the whole of my Christian life. Up to that time, I was one of your ordinary Christians. We had a man of God on board, George Mueller of Bristol. I had been on that bridge for 22 hours and never left it. I was startled by someone tapping me on the shoulder. It was George Mueller. Captain, he said, I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon. He said, this was Wednesday. It is impossible, I said. Very well. If your ship can't take me, God will find some other means of locomotion to take me. I have never broken an engagement in 57 years. I would willingly help you, but how can I? I'm helpless. And Mueller said, let us go down into the chart room and pray. He said, I looked at this man and I thought to myself, what lunatic asylum could this man have come from? I never heard of such a thing. Mr. Mueller, do you know how dense this fog is? No, he replied, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. He went down on his knees and he prayed one of the most simple prayers. I thought to myself that that would suit a children's class where the children were not more than 8 or 9 years of age. The burden of his prayer was something like this. Oh, Lord, if it is consistent with thy will, please remove this fog in 5 minutes. You know the engagement you made for me in Quebec for Saturday. I believe it is your will. When he had finished, I was going to pray, but he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. First, he said, you do not believe God will do it. And second, I believe he has done it, and there is no need whatsoever for you to pray about it. I looked at him, and George Mueller said this, Captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day that I have failed to gain an audience with the King. Get up, Captain, and open the door, and you will find the fog is gone. I got up, and the fog was gone. On Saturday afternoon, George Mueller was in Quebec. Amen. Hey, where's your God at? Where are the answers to prayers in your life at? Where are your miracles at? They're in the prayer closet that you don't go to, that you left behind day after day and week after week. Adoniram Judson said, better, my brethren, to wear out and die within 3 years than live 40 in slothfulness. He said the mighty significance of the Judson spirit is not the fact that when a missionary is left alone with his Bible, he becomes a Baptist. But the significant thing is that when a Baptist is left alone with his Bible, he becomes a missionary. That's why no one goes soul winning today. No one's reading their Bible. No one's praying. Or you go soul winning somewhere. Don't tell me you're reading your Bible. Don't tell me you're praying. When your life is falling apart, you can't even control yourself. Just be honest before God. Just humble yourself and be honest. So I need to get back to my prayer closet. There is no success without sacrifice, he said. If you succeed without sacrifice, it's because someone else has suffered before you. If you sacrifice without success, it's because someone will succeed after. He said, God loves importunate prayer. Prayer for importunity. You know, it's in the Bible. Jesus talked about that with the wicked judge. He said, God loves importunate prayer so much that he will not give us much blessing without it. I'm not tired of my work, neither am I tired of the world. Yet when Christ calls me home, I shall go with gladness. He said, let me beg you and to rest contented with the commonplace religion that is now so prevalent. Let me repeat that. Let me beg you not to rest contented with the commonplace religion that is now so prevalent. Everybody wants to jump up and down and scream in the church auditorium, think it's some religious system, it's of the devil, I'm telling you right now. They don't know how to pray in a prayer closet. He said, nothing is impossible, said one of the seven sages of Greece, to industry. Let us change the word industry to persevering prayer, and the model will be more Christian and more worthy of universal adoption. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. He said, to know the will of God, we need an open Bible and an open map. They said that William Carey chided his countrymen for deciding it would be impossible for the gospel to travel over great distances and to penetrate varied cultures when they are willing to face the same trials for the sake of commerce. For money, you'll do it. But for the gospel, we won't. How guilty we really are. One of the first, this is what he said, quote, one of the first and most important of those duties which are incumbent upon us is fervent and united prayer. However, the influence of the Holy Spirit may be set at naught and run down by many. It will be found upon trial that all means which we can use without it will be ineffectual. If a temple is raised for God in the heathen world, it will not be by might, nor by power, nor by the authority of the magistrate or the eloquence of the orator, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We try to do things on our power, on our flesh. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. C.T. Studd was a famous cricketer in England, about to inherit a whole bunch of money. I'm talking millions of pounds or whatever it was. Very rich family. They wrote it completely off because C.T. Studd surrendered to the mission field. He said, here am I, send me to the ends of the earth. I'm sorry, this is David Brainerd. He said, David Brainerd said, the missionary to the Indians in America, he said, here I am, send me to the ends of the earth. Send me to the rough, the savage pagans of the wilderness. Send me from all that is called comfort on earth. Send me even to death itself, if it be but in thy service and to promote thy kingdom. He said, it is sweet to be nothing and less than nothing, that Christ may be all in all. I told you the story of Sim the Indian, probably the biggest drunk of Rensselaer. You think he went out drinking Saturday, Friday, Saturday? He went out drinking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He was the biggest heathen in Rensselaer. Came home, used to beat his wife about every day. Black and blue, kick her. Cuss, swear. Make fun of her religion. And Joan would beg and plead for God to break his heart. And you know what? Sim the Indian got saved. And became probably one of the best soul winners the Capital District has ever had in the last 40, 50 years. He didn't care who you were. He went everywhere with his costume, his Indian costume, with his guitar. Came to our church and sang and preached. He cared about souls. You know why? Because he had a wife that believed in a prayer closet. You leave your husband, you leave your wife, you leave your kids, you leave your church, you leave your God, and you go to your government for your help. J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to England, to China. You know how he got saved? I'm going to close with this story right here. Despite the godly example and teaching of his parents, Hudson became a skeptical and worldly young man. He began to think that for some reason or other he could not be saved, and that the only thing for him to do was to take his fill of this world, since there was no hope for him in the next. His conversion, like all else in life, is a monument to the power of prayer. When he was about 17 years of age, he went one afternoon into his father's library in search of a book with which to while away the time. Finally, he picked up a gospel tract which looked interesting, saying to himself, there'll be a story at the beginning and a sermon at the end. I will read the former and skip the latter. Little did he know what was going on at the very time in the heart of his mother, who was on a visit 70 or 80 miles away. That very afternoon, she went to her room with an intense yearning for the conversion of her son, turned the key in the door, and resolved not to leave the spot until her prayers were answered. Hour after hour, she continued pleading until at length she arose with glad assurance that the object of her prayers had already been accomplished. Meanwhile, in the course of reading the tract, Hudson had come upon the expression, the finished work of Christ. Remembering the words, it is finished, he raised the question, what was finished? He at once replied, a full and perfect atonement and satisfaction for sin. The debt was paid by the substitute. Christ died for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Next came the thought, if the whole work was finished and the whole debt paid, what is there left for me to do? Then came the blessed realization that there was nothing in the world to be done but to fall down on one's knees in prayer and in faith accept the salvation wrought by Christ. Thus, says Hudson, while my dear mother was praising God on her knees in her chamber, I was praising him in the old warehouse to which I had gone alone to read at my leisure this little book. Several days later, he told his sister of his newfound joy in Christ and secured her promise not to speak of it to anyone. When the mother returned a fortnight later, he met her at the door and told her he had a piece of good news for her. Writing many years later, Hudson Taylor said this, quote, I could almost feel that dear mother's arms around my neck. As she pressed me to her bosom and said, I know, my boy, I have been rejoicing for a fortnight in the glad tidings you have to tell me. He wrote, has Amelia broken her promise? I asked in surprise. She said she would tell no one. My dear mother assured me that it was not from any human source that she had learned the tidings and went on to tell the incident mentioned above. That's what he wrote of his conversion. Amen. What moved these great men of God and women of God of years past that brought revivals, that brought hundreds and thousands of people to Jesus Christ, that filled church auditoriums, that sounded the gospel to foreign mission fields. One small prayer closet. One tiny room where people went by themselves, where no one heard them, where no one saw them, where they met God alone, and they pleaded for God to help them with their heartaches and their burdens and give them power and wisdom. We go all over God's creation asking everybody for help except the one person that will help us. I say get back to the prayer closet. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, all of us are guilty. All of us can attest that the times we've fallen short, the times that we've sinned, we've fallen into temptation, the times that we've neglected the prayer closet, the times that we've done something foolishly, we bought something, we did something, because we lacked the wisdom, was because we failed to enter the prayer closet. We thought we were smart enough. We thought we knew enough. We thought we heard enough. Oh, dear God, please be merciful to us. Thank you for your long-suffering, dear God. Lord, please help us to get back to the prayer closet. Bless these dear folks. I pray, dear God, if anybody's not saved this morning, may they come forward and trust you today. May they get alone during this invitation and just trust you and you alone. Whatever our need is, dear God, will you please meet with us and meet our needs. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God. God's people praying.